Hello again. It's time for another installment of Your Little One reading Dune by Frank Herbert. This is part three, and I'm already like giggling because I know how it's gonna go, and I try to hold out, but every time it's like I can only make it like 8 minutes, so I'm really, really going to try to hold out. But let's jump into it, shall we? Let's get it pulled up here. All right, good. Here we go. The Reverend Mother Gaius Helen Mahayam sat in a tapestried chair, watching mother and son approach. Windows on each side of her overlooked the curving southern bend of the river and the green farmlands of the Atreides family holding, but the Reverend Mother ignored the view. She was feeling her age this morning, more than a little petulant. She blamed it on space travel and association with that abominable spacing guild and its secretive ways. But here was a mission that required personal attention from a Bene Gesserit with the site. Even the Padishah Emperor's truthsayer couldn't evade that responsibility when the duty call came. Damn that Jessica, the Reverend Mother thought. If only she'd borne us a girl as she was ordered to do. Jessica... That's cute. Sorry. Jessica stopped 3 paces from the chair, dropped a small curtsy, a gentle flick of left hand along the line of her skirt. Paul gave the short bow his dancing master had taught, the one used when in doubt of another's station. The nuances of Paul's greeting were not lost, on the Reverend Mother. She said, "He's a cautious one, Jessica." Jessica's hand went to Paul's shoulder, tightened there. For a heartbeat, fear pulsed through her palm. Then she had herself under control. "Thus he has been taught, Your Reverence." "What does she fear?" Paul wondered. The old woman studied Paul in one... Gestalten flicker? Face oval like Jessica's, but strong bones. Hair, the Duke's black, but with the brow line of the maternal grandfather, who cannot be named, and that thin, disdainful nose... A shape of directly staring green eyes, like the old Duke, the paternal grandfather, who is dead. Now there was a man who appreciated the power of bravura, even in death, the Reverend Mother thought. "Teaching is one thing," she said. "The basic ingredient is another. We shall see." The old eyes darted a heart glance at Jessica. "Leave us. I enjoin you to practice the meditation of peace." Jessica took her hand from Paul's shoulder. "Your Reverence, I..." "Jessica, you know it must be done." Paul looked up at his mother, puzzled. Jessica straightened. "Yes, of course." Paul looked back at the Reverend Mother. Politeness and his mother's obvious awe of this old woman argued caution. Yet he felt an angry apprehension at the fear he sensed radiating from his mother. "Paul," Jessica took a deep breath. "This test you're about to receive, it's important to me." "Test?" He looked up at her. "Remember that you're a Duke's son," Jessica said. She whirled and strode from the room in a dry swishing of skirt. The door closed solidly behind her. Paul faced the old woman, holding anger in check. "Does one dismiss the Lady Jessica as though she were serving a wench?" A smile flicked the corners of the wrinkled old mouth. "The Lady Jessica was my serving wench, lad, for 14 years at school," she nodded. "And a good one, too. Now you come here." The command whipped out at him. Paul found himself obeying before he could think about it. using the voice on me, he thought. He stopped at her gesture, standing beside her knees. See this? She asked. From the folds of her gown, she lifted a green metal cube about 15 centimeters on a side. She turned it, and Paul saw that one side was open, black and oddly frightening. No light penetrated that open blackness. Put your hand in the box, she said. Fear shot through Paul. He started to back away, but the old woman said, Is this how you obey your mother? He looked up into bird-bright eyes. Slowly, feeling the compulsions and unable to inhibit them, Paul put his hand into the box. He felt first a sense of cold as the blackness closed around his hand, then slick metal against his fingers, and a pricking as though his hand were asleep. A predatory look filled the old woman's features. She lifted her right hand away from the box and poised the hand close to the side of Paul's neck. He saw a glint of metal there and started to turn toward. Stop! She snapped. Using the voice again, he swung his attention back to her face. I hold at your neck the Gom Jabbar, she said. The Gom Jabbar, the high-handed enemy. It's a needle with a drop of poison on its tip. Don't pull away or you'll feel that poison. Paul tried to swallow in a dry throat. He could not take his attention from the seamed old face, the glistening eyes, the pale gums around silvery metal teeth that flashed as she spoke. A duke's son must know about poisons, she said. It's the way of our times, eh? Musky, to be poisoned in your drink. Almas, to be poisoned in your food. The quick ones and the slow ones and the ones in between. Here's a new one for you. The Gom Jabbar. It kills only animals. Pride overcame Paul's fear. You dare suggest a duke's son is an animal? He demanded. Let us say I suggest you may be human, she said. Steady. I warn you not to try jerking away. I am old, but my hand can drive this needle into your neck before you escape me. Who are you? He whispered. How did you trick my mother into leaving me alone with you? Are you from the Harkonnens? The Harkonnens? Oh, bless us, no. Now be silent. A dry finger touched his neck, and he stilled the involuntary urge to leap away. Good, she said. You passed the first test. Now here's the way of the rest of it. If you withdraw your hand from the box, you die. This is the only rule. Keep your hand in the box and live. Withdraw it and die. Paul took a deep breath to still his trembling. If I call out, there will be servants on you in seconds, and you'll die. Servants will not pass your mother, who stands guard outside that door. Depend on it. Your mother survived this test. Now it's your turn. Be honored. We seldom administer this to men children. Curiosity reduced Paul's fear to a manageable level. He heard truth in the old woman's voice. No denying it. If his mother stood guard out there, if this were truly a test, and whatever it was, he knew himself caught in it, trapped by that hand at his neck, the Gom Jabbar. He recalled the response from the litany against fear as his mother had taught him out of the Bene Gesserit rite. I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where the fear has gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain. He felt calmness return, said, "Get on with it, old woman." "Old woman," she snapped, "you've courage, and that can't be denied. Well, we shall see, Sira." She bent close, lowered her voice almost to a whisper. "You will feel pain in this hand within the box. Pain, but withdraw the hand, and I'll touch your neck with my Gamjabar. The death so swift, it's like the fall of the headsman's axe. Withdraw your hand, and the Gamjabar takes you. Understand?"
"What's in the box?"
"Pain." He felt increased tingling.
Yeah. In his hand.
Pressed his lips tightly together. How could this be a test, he wondered. The tingling became an itch. The old woman said, "You've heard of animals chewing off a leg to escape a trap. There's an animal kind of trick. A human would remain in the trap, endure the pain, feigning death that he might kill the trapper and remove a threat to his kind. The itch became the faintest burning. "Why are you doing this?" he demanded. "To determine if you're a human. Be silent." Paul clenched his left hand into a fist as the burning sensation increased in the other hand. It mounted slowly, heat upon heat, upon heat, upon heat. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. He felt the fingernails of his free hand biting the palm. He tried to flex the fingers of the burning hand, but couldn't move them. Oh God! Oh God, yes! Oh fuck! Oh my God, I'm gonna come! Oh fuck, I can't stop! Oh my God! Oh! Oh fucking hell! Oh my God, yes!
God.
Okay. Oh, I lasted so much longer this time. Oh, that's nice. Oh, fuck. I need to lay down. Thank you for listening. I'm sorry for the sounds of a dog barking in the neighborhood or anything else that came through. And here comes a plane, so I will see you all soon. Bye.